This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. You ready to mix it up, Ben?
Let's rock. Let's roll.
Today we're talking about an article titled Unsolved Mysteries, written by Ben with Mick Dumke, that appeared in the Reader on July 8th, 2009. This is a summary of the City Council's Finance Committee meeting on July 2nd that investigated the origins of the city's parking meter privatization deal. You guys wrote this in a question and answer format. In the past, you've complained to me that Reader editors cut material from your articles, whereas it seems to me this article, because of its format, is longer than the content might justify. What do you think about that?
God, so many great one-liners that I didn't even put in there. I beg to differ with you. I don't think you could have too much writing about the parking meter story, but then again, I'm biased. I don't think you can have too much writing about TIFFs or the Olympics, so maybe I'm an audience of one.
Let me be clear. What I'm saying is the format makes the article longer than there is content, as opposed to if you just did it straight, you would have gotten more content in the same space.
I don't know if I disagree. I view it a little differently. Let's put it that way. That's the same thing as disagreeing. What I struggle with...
What are you, an alderman?
A different question here, which is an interesting question. I'll be happy to answer it. I'm struggling all the time, constantly, trying to figure out a way to get ordinary human beings in Chicago to read stories that deal with issues that are a little complicated. And the parking meter story is an incredibly complicated, convoluted story. And that works to the city's advantage because when they don't want you to pay attention, they start talking in parking meter jargon, which turns everybody off. Nobody pays attention. The media falls asleep. They immediately say it, reduce it to a he said, she said, that's the end of it. They want it to end. So it works to the city's advantage. So here I am struggling, and it is a struggle, to try to figure out a way to cut through the jargon and present this in a way that ordinary human beings not only would be able to follow, could hold their interest. So when I did the question and answer format, the way it works is there's a basic question, you have an answer, the answer is what the city answers, but obviously that answer is not a full and complete answer, so you have immediate follow-up. It's a sort of almost like an interrogation that you would do if they would allow themselves to be interrogated, but they don't open themselves up to quote-unquote interrogation or a question and answers because they don't want to give out the information, because there's probably a lot of bad things they haven't been revealing as to how this deal went down. So I thought that just to keep people following, here's a point, here's where the point is inconsistent, here's the question zeroing in on the inconsistency, here's the follow-up. There may have been whole issues, this is the point I think you were making, that didn't get included, like the whole issue of whether the $1 billion today is worth the same as $5 billion over the course of 75 years. A monumentally complicated and beside the point issue, by the way. But they love arguing that because they could just throw jargon and numbers at you and no one will pay attention except for like three geeks who then will write obsessively to the Reader website. So put that aside. The fundamental question on the worth is, do we trust this current group that's running the city to wisely spend $1 billion? I would defy anybody to give me an explanation, reasoned explanation, based on how they've handled city policies to say, yes, I trust them. I think they have the fiduciary interests of the Chicago taxpayer at heart. It's clear by the way they spend money on, oh, Millennium Park, oh, the Brown Line, oh, you know, Block 37, oh, the O'Hare expansion plan. Everything they do is just looking out for the financial interests and the well-being of the citizens of the city of Chicago. It's so clear by their track record. There's never any cost overruns. There's never any scandals about who gets hired and, you know, who gets the contract, who's the contributor. No, it's always so clean and above boards and transparent.
He's being facetious, folks.
Of course. So the fundamental issue is not whether, in my humble opinion, $1 billion today is worth $5 billion over the course of 75 years, an issue we can talk about forever and ever. The fundamental issue is, do we trust this administration with $1 billion as opposed to just giving them $55 million increments every year, which they have to spend on their city budget, as opposed to $1 billion that they can literally just burn if they want to? I would say, obviously, we cannot trust these people with $1 billion. Why, citizens of Chicago, do you continually trust them with huge pots of money for which there is no oversight? That is the fundamental question. That question is never asked if you shoot down the alley of, is $1 billion today worth $5 billion over the course of 75 years?
Let's go in a slightly different direction. For our listeners who live in the 14th Ward, which is between Pershing and 59th Street west of Western Avenue, Their elected representative in city council is a guy by the name of Ed Burke, who figures in your question and answer session. You show that Burke repeatedly answered questions in this hearing for the witnesses, making him look like he was trying to derail any serious probe into the parking meter deal. Do you think he was trying to do that? And if so, why?
Yes, I think he was doing that. He serves that function in other instances as well. I can't, anything I say as to his motive is sheer speculation. So you just have to ask, who would benefit by derailing a thorough, detailed, rigorous examination of why the city does what it does? Answer that question, and you probably have the answer to your question of why he did it. Unless, of course, he's just like has a form of dementia, and he can't restrain himself, and every now and then he just feels compelled to babble. Like Bert Nateris was great at this. Bert Nateris, if you're at a public hearing and people were upset about a city program, would be absolutely great at going off on a tangent. Richard Mell is a master of this. Like, I love these guys.
And it's interesting because when you look at another thing that Alderman Burke did recently with Alderman O'Connor of the 40th Ward, they recently called for a third party to analyze the city's bid to hold the 2016 Olympics. Why would Burke seemingly call for scrutiny on one of the mayor's pet projects but shield another?
You answer that question. You answer. I want
so
you to
you,
be the
constituents
cynic.
Of the 14th Ward who are listening, these are questions you might want to ask your alderman.
Constituents of the 14th Ward, it's about time you folks woke up. You guys have been so asleep for so long. You don't even deserve to have an alderman. My God, he had one opponent since 1969. He's got a war chest of like millions of dollars. The people of, oh, I got a garbage can. Oh, my street is clean. I'm so happy. He's a great guy. I'm sorry. The people in the 14th Ward, I don't know what you guys are thinking, okay? Anyway, I'm sorry. Go back to Ed Burke and Patrick O'Connor. I'm sure the purpose of their probe is not, repeat, not to come up with an independent investigation of whether or not, answering the question of whether or not the Olympics is in the best interest of Chicago taxpayers. I'm sure whatever their purpose is to help Mayor Daley get his Olympics.
Well, we'll try to figure that out in subsequent interviews, but we'll leave it here for today. Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.